Good morning, Drift Run Church. I hope everybody's glad to be here this day. I know it's cold out there. I know a lot going on in the world today, so I'm thankful for each and every one. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before you, whether I be in the parking lot or in the building. I'm glad to be a participant of being a Christian. I hope you're glad to be a Christian this morning. I hope you're glad to be a Christian this morning. I heard that. There we go. Get everybody woke up here. I wrote a note down about all the songs that we've heard this morning that's been played direct us right to the sermon topic this day. And I'm excited about this topic. I pray that the Lord will help me get it out of me and present it to you as He's presented it to me. And Miss Patty, you will, after a while through this sermon here this morning, you'll see where what Miss Patty read goes right along. It is entwined with what the Word has for us. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about intersections. And think about the intersection of Drift Run, and I'm talking about the creeks, the intersection of Drift Run and Sandy Creek. Now just think about that. Greg talked about God used simple things, and this is a simple message by a simple man this morning with a simple topic. But it is so relevant, it is so powerful, it's so distinctive about an intersection that we're going to talk about. I thought about, thinking about that creek out there. And the world would have you to believe that was nothing out there, and then maybe a snail just magically appeared and went crawling down through the field or whatever was there and left a ditch and a drop of water hit in it, and it started running, going toward Ravenswood and made Sandy Creek. I beg to differ. It is a direct result of creation. It is a direct result of the flood. And it is what it is. Now, I think about Dale and Mary up there on that hill all these years. And they could walk out there and look out at Sandy Creek. And he'll tell you when it's flooded to the banks, clear up to his driveway. Or there was times he could probably walk over there and look in it, and there was no water visible. But we know it was there, it was under the ground. But it's always been flowing toward Ravenswood. Always. Rodney and I and Jeff and Lucinda all grew up upstream on Sandy Creek. I've went through this in my mind from here to Rodney's Holler, because where part of Sandy Creek originates. And it has always flowed toward Ravenswood. Always. Drift Run has never went out and run into Sandy Creek and made a left or went upstream. Never has. It's always went toward Ravenswood. Now, what are you talking about, you simple-minded man? Well, I'll explain that to you if I can get the simple words to come out of this simple mind to preach this simple sermon. And we're talking about life's journey. We're going to talk about intersections. And Drift Run intersects with Sandy Creek. And you back up, clear up to our house, and there's many other intersections there. There's a lot of other intersections going down. But we're going to talk about this one right here. This one at Drift Run, where Drift Run runs in to Sandy Creek. I'm going to start out by reading out of Luke chapter 2. And everybody knows the story in Luke 2. I pray that you do. Even the world will read it occasionally. But Luke 2, I'm going to read verses 6 and 7. And then 21. And then I'll be turning over into Mark for just a second. But Luke chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7 says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and that's referring to Mary carrying the baby Jesus. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Verse 21 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Let us pray. Lord, again, we just humbled to bow here before you on this beautiful, crisp, cold morning that you have created. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your heartfelt presence that's already been established here this morning, Lord. It is, you have touched hearts as only you can. Move upon us now as we continue on in this service this morning. Let everything that's said and done be done to glorify your name and your name alone. We ask for you to be with those that are homesick and grieved and those that have got situations going on in their life. We ask for your comforting peace just to rest upon them for just a bit. I pray again this morning for our pastor, Lord. I ask for you to visit with him right now. Touch his heart and his life and heal his body. Again, I ask for you to forgive me. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Amen. Okay. Now, in those, I hope you saw what was going on in those scriptures that was read. It was from the birth of Jesus unto the ascension of Jesus. And we're going to talk about the intersection that was made right there at that time in this life journey, this from creation on, as we can understand, and it's always been flowing toward heaven or toward eternity, just as Drift Run has always flowed into Sandy Creek, and it's always flowed toward the Ohio River at Ravenswood. That's what I want to establish. It is a continuing thing going on. But we're going to talk about an intersection that occurred 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born and sent to this earth, and he lived a perfect life, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died the perfect death, shed the perfect blood on the cross, and rose again, and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. So that's the point that I want us all to get our heads locked into right now. And remember, it's a simple message by a simple man, but it's sure not a simple event. But it should be for us to understand and comprehend. Now I'm going to talk about the intersections. I'm going to talk about the cross. It's mainly the cross. What brought me to this was talking about crossroads, how things happen in our lives. But it really come back to just this one intersection. And it's the point in time of the cross. Let's talk about the cross just for a minute. I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 17, 18 says, and Paul, this was Paul, says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He's saying it's about the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The emphasis I want to put on the cross, if you in the world today, if they see the cross, they see death, they see tragedy, they see helplessness. But what do you see this morning in the cross? Do you look at the cross and are saddened? No, I look at the cross and am glad. I rejoice for the cross. I rejoice for the intersection that was made some 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ lived that perfect life, died that perfect death, shed that perfect blood, and rose again. And he hung on that cross not to give me death, but to give me life. That's the emphasis. It's about this intersection at this time. I wrote down five things about this intersection. First is the intersection between the past and the future. Now, if you look, and I've learned in my studies and my spiritual growth and the lessons that we've been taught here and other places and through the Word of God, that the Old Testament points towards Jesus. The New Testament points towards Jesus. It all points towards Jesus. So the past intersects with the future at the cross of Jesus. I hope you get that. I hope you can comprehend that and put that in your mind. That's the pivot point of everything. Number two is the intersection between God and man. Now think about that. We've heard it preached many, many times. There's no way to heaven but through Jesus. Because of what? Because of that intersection he made. I got a scripture to read with that one. Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, read verses 69 and 70. Luke 22, 69 and 70. And hear what it says. This is Jesus speaking in verse 69. He says, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." So then the Pharisees said, "Then said they all, art thou the Son of God?" And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, "Ye say that I am." He is both. That is the intersection of God and man, is Jesus. That's the only connecting dot that we have, is the intersection of Jesus on the cross and his perfect life, his perfect death, and his perfect resurrection, his perfect shed blood. Is that point in time, that intersection of the cross. That's the foundation of everything, is the cross, is the intersection of God and man. Number three, the intersection between sin and righteousness. I'm going to read Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And listen closely what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." That's our only hope, is that intersection between sin and righteousness that occurred on the cross when Jesus shed that perfect blood on that cross that day. And he did that so we had a way. And number five, the intersection between, now think about, this is a big one, folks, the intersection between heaven and hell. We've all been there. We've all been there. I'm going to read Revelation. I heard a sermon on chapter 20 the other day, so it's really, really powerful. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So obviously that's talking of hell. Now let's read Revelation 21 verses 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Think of that intersection there. That intersection right there occurred at the cross. It was determined whether you was at the white throne or you was at the New Jerusalem. What an intersection. What a place to be. Okay. So that brought me to the point of we're talking about something that happened 2,000 years ago. But do you see that intersection of Drift Run and Sandy Creek right now? It's still right there today. It's still relevant today. That water still flows towards Ravenswood, and Drift Run runs right into it. And what does it do? It turns right and flows towards Ravenswood. It is an intersection. It is combined. And the point I'm trying to make right now is that action that Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, that intersection that occurred, is still available today for anyone who is standing, who is their heart's being stirred this morning. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your Savior today. The intersection is happening. You're standing here right now. And here's some more encouraging things to help us that have been saved and those that have not and might be looking to accept. Well, I'm going to talk about the company that you have at the intersection right now, at that intersection of the cross. You have Jesus himself, God in the flesh, is very present. He's the one that hung on the cross. His precious blood is what was shed on that cross. He gave of his whole life on that cross for you. He is right there at the intersection with you right now. Or he was there whenever you was at the intersection and you accepted. God himself was at the presence of that intersection right there at that instant when it was occurring, because God created everything. The cross that Jesus hung on, God created. The dirt, that the ground that held the cross, was God created. Every flesh and bone, person, animal, anything was there, was created by God himself. Now think about the intersection that's right now. Think about the intersection when you was at it. Think of the glorious time. We take for granted maybe this gospel of salvation. Now think about that. God the Father was there. God the Son was right there. And of course, we know God the Holy Spirit had to be there, because we got to be drawn by the Spirit when we are led unto salvation. So think about who's at that intersection with you right now, or who was there when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. All the participants was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in you. That just overwhelmed me when I realized that right there. I remember being in my truck. I think Ken mentioned today about the time when you get saved. He remembered where he was at. And it made me go back and think about the time I was driving home from somewhere in a truck, and I had heard the gospel my whole life. I had heard all the stories. I had heard this and heard that, and I felt something one time when I was a young man when Rodney got saved. I knew something was there. But that night in my pickup truck on Tucker's Creek Road, I was overwhelmed by something. And now I realize it was the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was sitting there in that truck with me as I knelt at that cross, as I accepted what Jesus done for me. That intersection between Jamie and God. And that's what we all experience when we... Let's think about the power that was there. Let's think about the company we keep. We had at that instant. And Jesus doesn't have to do that again. But He gave it to us once. He did. He promises. If you ain't saved today, and He's stirring with you right now, realize right now that you're in the company of the Creator of all things. If God is stirring your heart through His Holy Spirit and He's moving upon you right now, don't let it pass. There may not be another intersection. Take advantage of the opportunity that is made available by the Maker of everything, by our Heavenly Father. So hopefully what we've talked about here today, the simpleness of an intersection of Drift Run and Sandy Creek, will make us remember and make us think. And if you've never done it, make you accept what God has given to us at that intersection some 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son. When heaven and God Himself came down to this earth and dwelt among us and made a way that we have an opportunity to spend eternity, to participate in Revelation 21, to stand in the presence of our Heavenly Father. I got one more verse to read, and then Julie's got a song for us. I'm talking about the intersection at the cross. Colossians 1, verse 20-23. Colossians chapter 1, verses 20-23. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's what occurred at that intersection when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. He took all the bad that was in each and every one of us. He took it all. Everything. He took it all. And done the sacrifice for us. Man, we got a lot to be joyous about this morning. I couldn't help but think about, remember when they talked about the crossroads at the year 2000, when the clock clipped from 1999 to 2000, it was going to be total chaos, and we see that it was nothing. But we got to realize this intersection here, everything happened. I hope this spoke to your heart this morning. I hope you can realize and close your eyes right now. I do that a lot. I've learned just to close my eyes and puts the world out of me, away from me, and I try to focus on just what me and Jesus can see and feel and know. And think about that intersection. Put yourself at that intersection with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that precious cross.